This changes by the half hour, it seems. So what is the latest with these competing plans? Who's got the upper hand, and when can all of this be resolved?
Well, Harry Reid in the Senate is going to put out a plan that's going to get just about every Democratic vote. And Boehner, it remains to be seen whether his plan will even pass the House. He had to pull it on Tuesday because a Congressional Budget Office score came out showing that it did not save as much money as he purported. He revised that bill yesterday, and a new score came out showing that it would cut, according to his office, well, a new score came out showing that it would cut $917 billion over 10 years, and it would shift some of those cuts to 2012. The first bill Boehner put out, the one he pulled on Tuesday, would have cut only $1 billion in 2012. Well, now that he's shifted around a bit, it cuts $22 billion in 2012. So he has rejiggered it to get more support in his own conference. And he's also taken a tougher line with his conference. He's trying to crack down on his members and making the case that this is that while they have their principled position, it's important for them to support their leader. So, but right now, it seems that Harry Reid may have the upper hand because there's more Democratic unity around his bill. And the other thing is, given the Republican defections in the House, Boehner is going to have to rely. It looks like he may have to, in the end, may have to. Well, the question is whether Boehner will have to rely on Democratic votes. And the more he has to rely on Democratic votes, the more the Democrats have the upper hand. But it's really hard to say right now. It's a stalemate, so it's really hard to say definitively, you know, how much of an advantage Reid and the Democrats have, if any.
Well, I think it's important to figure out, if you can tell us, what's in the Harry Reid plan, and specifically, does it have the big, you know, trillion-dollar tax hikes that the president wants?
No, I mean, there are no taxes are off the table, and has been a big victory for Republicans, and this is the fact that you have these Tea Party conservatives in the House are rebelling against the Boehner bill that has left Democrats and some mainstream Republicans scratching their heads over what's going on, because neither bill has any revenue increases. In fact, you know, the Republicans and Democrats will admit this. You know, Republicans have won this battle policy-wise. I mean, these deficit reduction packages are almost entirely what the Republicans asked for. It's just spending cuts, and so no, the Harry Reid plan has no cuts. I'm sorry, has no tax increases. It has about $1 trillion in discretionary spending cuts. It has about $30 billion in cuts to some agriculture subsidies and agriculture reforms. There's another $40 billion in cuts to waste, fraud, and abuse. So Reid's plan would direct the government to look at some of these mandatory spending programs, some of these entitlement programs, to root out fraud, and they expect to get another $40 billion there, but no taxes whatsoever.
So looking ahead, a best-case scenario, how long would it take to get a successful bill from, you know, here to the president's desk and avoid a shutdown, or rather avoid a default? It just feels like a shutdown, but avoid a default.
Well, if the House can pass their bill tonight, which is up in the air, but I think it probably can, given Boehner's revisions, then it can get through the Senate by Sunday. If the Senate works through the weekend, they can get this bill done by Sunday and send it back to the House on Monday.
Are they going to work through the weekend, do you know?
Absolutely. They have to. If they don't, they're not going to make the August 2nd deadline. The senators cannot get this thing passed by August 2nd if they don't work through the weekend because of the procedural hurdles and because conservatives like Jim DeMint have said they're going to filibuster any legislation that increases the debt limit. But that doesn't, if Congress doesn't first pass a balanced budget amendment, and that certainly hasn't happened. So, if Reid gets cracking on Boehner's bill tonight, he can get this done by Sunday mid-afternoon and get it to the House, get back to the House Sunday evening or Monday morning. And then, you know, who knows what happens after that.
Boy, it sounds like an air battle with Messerschmitts coming from above and below and behind here. We're speaking with Alex Bolton of the Hill newspaper. Now, I wanted to ask you the picture that might emerge beyond all this. Let's presume something passes and the president signs something, and we'll just call that the blob. Once Congress has passed the blob, is there relationships that will survive this, and will there be any kind of comity on the Hill possible after a debate like this?
Well, I think the big question is whether, the big question is who wins this standoff right now. If Republicans win and force another round of budget cutting before another increase in the debt limit, I think it's going to be hard to get much accomplished, for the rest of this Congress other than budget cutting. What Republicans want is that, what Boehner wants is the debt limit to be increased only for a short term, several months, and then for Congress to have to pass a larger deficit reduction package before the debt limit is raised further to take us through the election. If Boehner's vision prevails, then we're going to see this acrimonious fight throughout the rest of this Congress, or right up until the election season. If Democrats win, if the Harry Reid plan goes through, that means the debt limit would be raised, or some variation of the Harry Reid plan passes. That means the debt limit would be raised enough to take us through the election season. And if that's the case, if this budget cutting and spending fight is off the table, then I think you'll see lawmakers move on to other issues like energy reform, and you might see some more bipartisan cooperation there, because it's not as charged as this spending fight has been.
And just one final question that I have, and that is this debate that they're having now is all about the short term, really, getting the debt ceiling so that we can have some semblance of continuity in governmental operations and, a few hundred billion down the line. But really, the long-term debt issue is what matters the most, and whether they raise the debt ceiling now or not is of less importance than what happens in 8, 10, 12, 15 years down the line. Is there anybody on the Hill, anybody anywhere, that is thinking about a cogent plan for the long term to bring the ratios that we've enjoyed since World War II of government spending to GDP, bring those back together?
A bunch of people are thinking about it and working on it. The question is whether any one plan can get the support it needs. In the Senate, there's the Gang of Six, which you probably heard about.
Sure.
Three Republicans, three Democrats. They put together a plan that cuts about $4 trillion from the deficit over 10 years. It's a start. But what's notable about it is that it has bipartisan support. This plan has been presented to about half the chamber, and there are about 33 senators who have already signed up in support of this plan. Right now it's just a framework, so the details are sketchy, but what's important is that you have a number of Republicans, including Lamar Alexander, the third-ranking Republican in the Senate GOP conference, who have signed on to this plan. And so that's something that could address the long-term fiscal situation. On the other side, the conservatives are pushing the cut cap and balance plan, and that would require steep spending cuts, caps on spending, and a balanced budget amendment. That's something they're very committed to, and that would certainly take care of the fiscal problems over the long term. A balanced budget amendment, polls show balanced budget amendment is very popular. The problem with the balanced budget proposal that conservatives are pushing now is that it would make it very difficult to raise taxes, and it would cap government spending about 18% of GDP. Democrats who in the past have supported a balanced budget amendment think that that's too harsh. However, conservatives like Rand Paul of Kentucky say they are willing to negotiate some of those levels. So if that happens, perhaps you could see some bipartisan support for a balanced budget amendment. After all, in 1997, it came within one vote of actually passing the Senate.
Yeah, everybody likes a balanced budget. The question is, what budget do you want to balance? Alex Bolton is with the Hill newspaper. Thanks very much for that update, and we'll check in with you again.